Zcast.
Main topic.
Guest.
Okay, hello everybody. This is the first bilingual podcast in Bulgaria, the Nira podcast. I'm Pesho. This is...
Hi, I'm Guy.
And we have our first guest, Irina Hristova, the founder of the Nira Camp.
Hi.
Can you tell us more about what is the Nira Camp?
Well, the Nira Camp is the first British summer camp in Bulgaria. It's been created under the model of British camps, where we have lots of activities, lots of sports. And we also add on to it English language instruction with teachers from the UK, just like you, Guy.
And I heard stories that is somehow connected to Easter. Can you elaborate more on that?
Oh, it's a long story. It's 5 years long story. 5 years ago, just the day before Easter, we announced Z-Camp for the first time in Bulgaria. And we now celebrate 5 years Z-Camp with all the students that have been with us for 5 years altogether. We've been running it for 8 weeks every summer, and it's been great so far.
I've been part of Z-Camp for 5 years.
I've been part of Z-Camp for just over a year now.
And it was such an amazing journey up on this point. And there's so many things that are happening at the Nira Camp. And we can just touch on a few that you think are the best.
Well, for me, finding you guys was the best thing. Along the way, each of the staff members found its place, and I know kids are coming back and back again because of the contact with you. I know the students that we have at Zanira, they've been with us, some of them, for 5 years. There are some kids that have celebrated all their birthdays in the last 5 years with us. So Easter being a family holiday, I think Z-Camp is also has this family feeling about it. And it's a family decision to send your kid to Z-Camp. And we are a family. So it's all linked in a way, the family feeling, the belonging to one place. What is it for you?
For me, it was actually learning more about myself. Growing up at the Nira Camp.
Oh, you grew up. Oh,
yeah,
good.
I did. I started working there and be part from the staff. At an age where you're kind of lost, but I found my hobby. I made it work with the kids. And the best part is that you can give examples and lessons to kids that you, for example, wanted to hear when you were their age. And you, Guy?
I was just blown away by the professionalism for the classes, the level that was brought to the camp. After having worked in other camps, the level of professionalism and skill that the teachers bring to help the children is above and beyond.
Yeah, I just want to add one more thing that I've been a part of some of the classes, and I for sure can say they're really fun because it's a unique way of actually learning English. It's not just the lessons or the types we have in Bulgaria or in our schools. It's more of it's a fun way to learn English and the language by itself. And I hope all of the staff feel the same way and all of the kids.
Well, the students do certainly feel it's fun because they come back, and they wouldn't come back in the summer to learn if it wasn't fun learning and it wasn't productive, because then the parents wouldn't send them over year after year to learn, and they wouldn't bring new friends to the camp. So yeah, the camp has been interesting experiment for me because I brought my expertise. Having worked for more than 25 years for sending kids to learn languages abroad, I decided to make this camp in Bulgaria, so to bring the learning to Bulgaria, to make it more affordable for more people. So it's been an experiment for me. Would it work? Yes, it does work. And surprisingly, we become a little England when we are at the camp, even though we do keep some Bulgarian things and words at the camp, but we do have the rules, just like in every British camp. And this is thanks to stuff like Guy, who's coming or flying over every summer to be with us.
And I just want to come back a little bit and the words that you said, that some English or style of living and learning carries with us throughout the whole year, not just the summer. And of course, some of the Bulgarian stays, and this can be seen in some of the awards that we give up to the children. With, for example, the Kozanak or the Easter bread in Kifo. It's not the same as in Bulgaria, because there is, you know, an opinion and a view of that. We're thinking differently. And I think here Irina and Guy can say a few words, because...
Do you remember, sorry to interrupt, do you remember how Kifla came as a word at the camp? It started from the first year ever. How was it? Tell me. Tell Guy, he doesn't know.
Yeah, so... It became like
It's a coincidence, yeah.
Yeah, of just kids going in their class, and they were trying to teach their teacher at the time what is Kifla. And it became sort of a noun or a word that most of the girls that were, you know, happy, funny, and stuff like that, we were called in Kifla, and they were enjoyed. It was not connected with the...
It wasn't a derogatory term.
Yes.
No, we even had one teacher who learned the word, and he said "Mlaknete kifli vednaga."
Yeah,
and this is still a part of the camp. So Kifla became like it's like one a nice girl that looks good and takes care of her the way he looks. She dresses and she looks.
Fashion, uniqueness, how she expresses herself.
So when we made the award, we had the guys left away, like left on a side. And with the awards at Z Camp, we want to find that uniqueness about every kid. We want to, just like you do in English schools, to have the one thing that the kid is good at.
And try and draw that out of them.
Yeah, try and make it center of their personality for the social circle they're at. So this is what we do at Z Camp. And the awards are... the way to stress out in front of the other kids and to point out to that certain kid, you're really good at that, work on it.
Yeah.
So Kozanak is also the award that we thought of. And I don't know, was it you who thought about Kozanak against Kifla?
I don't know. I think of many nicknames to the kids. It's easier and it's a fun way, you know, of creating a better bond, a friendship, you know. And I think it's a cool way. Even some people that think that word can be a bad, I think we're giving it another look, another, how do you say it? You read it on a, in another.
Yeah, and that's life. Why you're not a special.
Yeah.
You're a special with double O at the end.
And I wanted just to ask you, because we're talking about Easter and Kozanak, and we're going to go and ask the kids that were Kozanak a few questions about Easter, but I just wanted to ask you, how do you celebrate Easter? Is there something unique, something fun that you do?
We celebrate as every Bulgarian family would do. We would color the eggs on the Thursday, then we would I would bake the Kozanak. Wherever I am, I carry with me that little automatic baker. So even we are at the ski resorts, we would bake the Kozanak there. Oh, I burn it sometimes, yeah, because I'm skiing, you know. But yeah, I would try to make it. And then we have some lamb for the lunch on Easter Day. And if we're with the family, we're together with family, otherwise with friends. And here in Bulgaria, we break the eggs? How do you call this? We fight with eggs.
Yeah.
You don't do that in England, do you, Guy?
No.
What?
Actual eggs aren't really a part of Easter.
Like
it's
what?
All chocolate eggs.
You have chocolate eggs?
Yeah.
Don't you have any chicken to lay actual eggs in England?
There are real chickens in England, yeah.
but you eat the eggs for breakfast, I guess.
No, we don't. It's not. It's different traditions, different cultures. England, it seems to have, there's the Easter bunny, which is now turned chocolate. There's Easter eggs, which are now chocolate.
Yeah, I always wondered, what does the bunny has to do with Easter?
Well, funny enough, I know, a short story. Basically, many years ago, centuries ago, immigrants had different traditions. And just before Easter, one of the traditions said that a bunny would carry a painted egg in front of the house, which had good behaving children. And that's how it, you know, spread around in around the world.
Like Santa.
Yeah, it's very... Yeah,
like
very
Easter similar. Santa. I don't know how they try to... We should think of something like that at Z Camp, like a bunny bringing a chocolate egg or something to a good behaving... But yeah, we don't allow chocolate.
Yeah.
Then it's not work. Yeah, a bunny bringing something. I wonder, where did the bunnies take the eggs in? They have nothing to do with the eggs, the bunnies, I think.
Well,
it's... I think it's actually originated in. I think it actually originated in America with the whole with the Easter egg hunt.
But where do they take the eggs from?
From a chicken, probably. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I'm guessing from a chicken, but like yeah, they have them in a basket and then they hop
they
around
have them in a
hiding
basket.
The eggs.
So the, yeah. So I mean, you think like the bunnies have access to the chicken's eggs?
Probably.
I'm guessing.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, well, that's what the Americans thought about it.
I think it's a story, not actually true. Don't think there's actually like a bunny highwayman who goes around robbing eggs from chickens.
Colourful eggs.
Imagine.
And then paints them all yeah, first before he hides
on the,
them
on again. The way.
Come on, kids.
I yeah. imagine just, yeah, I could have imagined just a rabbit with a ninja floating, just going. Yeah, never mind.
Well, our Easter at home is traditional. We don't have bunnies running around. We have the eggs. We fight with the eggs.
You have eggs running around.
We don't have eggs running and bunnies running around. We fight with the eggs. Yeah, that's what we do.
And we're going to hear from other people how they celebrate Easter around the world as well, from different countries, different cultures. So stay tuned for that.
Adult in the topic.
Chat back.
Hi, I'm Wendy. I'm from the United States of America, and I'm from the Buckeye State, which is also known as Ohio. I currently live in Warsaw, Poland. In the United States, we celebrate Easter starting on Good Friday, and on Good Friday, we eat hot cross buns. They're sweetbreads with some dried fruit, and the icing is in the shape of a cross, and it's to signify the day that Jesus was crucified. On Saturday, we usually color eggs for the Easter bunny to hide for children to find on Easter morning. Children also usually receive an Easter basket filled with chocolates and jelly beans on Easter. This Easter tradition is not related to the resurrection of Christ. On Easter morning, after an egg hunt and looking for our Easter basket, we usually go to church to celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead. And after church, we usually have a dinner, and ham is the typical dish we eat. In Poland, because of the pandemic, I haven't really experienced a traditional Easter or a traditional Polish Easter. I do know that they color eggs and prepare Easter baskets. The Easter baskets in Poland are usually lined with white linen and filled with a sampling of Easter foods, a piece of sausage, some bread, a cake, and an Easter lamb that is usually made of butter or sugar. The basket is then taken to church on Saturdays to be blessed, and on Sunday there is a resurrection mass. Then the families gather for breakfast, which is a feast. And the day after Easter in Poland is called Dingus Day. They have some traditions. They throw water at each other. But anyways, that's a little bit about Easter from the U.S. and what I know about Easter in Poland. Happy Easter.
Arid. I'm Charlie, and I'm from Newcastle, which is in the northeast of England. For Easter, I go home with my family and have a massive meal, which includes roast lamb and loads of nice vegetables, and it's pralush. For Easter, we also go up the coast and have a lovely dog walk, which is really nice, and because you get loads of time off over here. So it's a nice day just to relax and do whatever you want, really. And my favourite thing about Easter is definitely the food, like loads of chocolate eggs, loads of nice food on the day, and it's just lovely.
Hello, I'm Jez, and I'm living in Leicester, England. And in the UK, people like to celebrate Easter with their families, at home, usually with chocolate eggs, as like a festive treat. My favourite part of Easter is being able to go home, travel home, see my family, as unfortunately, I live quite far away from them, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Is it easy?
Hello, everyone, back at Zinira Podcast. At this part, we have Is It Easy? Which guy will tell us more about it?
Yes.
Okay.
And we have one more guest here. Yeah. We have Gabby with us, an Easter bunny that popped in our show. Gabby's been with us from day one, camp one, so 5 years. She was a little bunny, a unicorn bunny at that time, and now she's a big bunny.
Hi.
Hi, Gabby.
Hi, Gabby.
Hello.
You were in guys' class. Was she in your class?
No, she was a higher level than the level.
Oh, higher level.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, let's see now if Guy can tell us things and if we'll know those things that he's going to tell us.
Okay, so in the section of Is It Easy, we're going to talk about idioms. Idioms are short sentences that help to add character to a writing that's maybe gone a bit stale. So here are a few examples. We have... to egg someone on. What do you think that means?
Like to put them in a difficult situation or something.
No, it's basically to, if you're egging someone on, you're sort of encouraging them or daring them to do something, usually an unwise move that they've on their part.
Or
you're egging them on.
The more sluggish shishuva? Do we have such saying?
I don't know.
It's encouraging people to do something silly.
Oh.
Basically.
Oh, it's okay.
As an idiom, it's to egg them on.
We don't want that at Z-Camp, do we? Does it happen at Z-Camp?
Maybe sometimes.
Maybe sometimes, more times.
That was scared to do something.
Yeah.
The high ropes or canoeing, and you just egg them on to go on, you'd be
but
all
right. But that's not stupid.
It's encouragement. No, but it could be unwise to go in a canoe if they can't swim.
Yeah, well, you don't let them on canoe if they can't swim unless they have the swimming web.
They all have life jackets
okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. So to egg someone on is to...
encourage somebody to do something or
stupid.
Dare somebody. I mean, to dare them, basically.
Okay.
It's not normally stupid, it's just, we call it unwise.
So are all your idioms today linked with eggs and bunnies because of Easter?
Yes.
Okay, so Easter-related
idioms.
Now we have lots of egg idioms.
Yes.
What other egg idioms do you have?
To put all of your eggs in one basket.
Okay, we have similar in Bulgarian.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're saying
it. Do you know that one?
In Bulgarian? Can't think of it right now.
Не слагай всички яйца в една кошница?
Да.
Ама ние така ли го ползваме на български?
Не знам.
Как го ползваме на български?
Не знам. Мисля, че просто се подразбира.
Okay. Okay, so we know it.
It's to risk everything in one
venture.
So adventure,
this was easy.
Basically.
This was easy.
Okay.
Try us again.
A lot of these idioms are from quite some time ago. I mean,
Your time?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe even earlier.
Your grandmother's time.
Yes. Let's try.
Yeah.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Bright-eyed.
Bright-eyed.
Is that a question?
And bushy-tailed.
Is that a question?
It's an idiom.
Bushy. Oh, okay.
Tail.
We're
like
still
tail.
On idioms.
Like tail.
Tail like a rabbit's tail. Bushy-tail.
Yeah, yeah.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
And bright-eyed could be surprised or... any idea?
And maybe like that way you use that to describe a unique person because... I don't know.
Oh, means you're eager, lively, ready to go. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You're
awake. I like all the Z campers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most of them.
I was thinking about Kifakos and when he said that. But yeah.
The one that you just mentioned was like with the eyes would maybe to be a rabbit caught in the headlights. A rabbit caught in headlights.
Surprised?
Yeah. Surprised or frightened by something that you weren't.
Yeah, because normally if you see them, they would just don't move. They stay on the road.
This is where the saying comes from.
That's the unlucky moment where they stay on the road.
Yeah, I mean, if you can stop soon enough, it's lucky.
It's lucky, yeah.
Yes.
I know you have prepared some, but I just wanted to ask. Is Easter eggs in media, as you know, the people think about it, is it an idiom or is it just a metaphor or some other thing?
Oh, no, this was I read this yesterday. There was, I can't remember the man's name, but this Easter eggs in media, films, games, and all this sort of stuff. You know, like they have Easter eggs in these things. This is sort of like you can have Easter eggs in digital pictures. Like if you scroll a mouse over something and then a little message pops up, you click on it, and then there's additional content. Same with movies and games. Sometimes you can find different things in games if you do a certain task. Like in the first game, 1973, the first computer game that had Easter eggs in it was called Moon Landing. And what you had to do was land on the moon.
And they had Easter eggs on the moon.
No. The Easter egg is not an egg in this part. It's an additional content. It's okay. Called an Easter egg because the guy that invented it, that's what he called it.
So they had additional content on the moon.
So basically, if you landed the moon landing, but in a different place, it ended up being next to a McDonald's, and the astronaut got out and went into McDonald's and ordered a burger. This was the first Easter egg. It had nothing to do with the game, obviously. But there's no McDonald's on the moon.
And with eggs.
But yeah.
That's good.
I just wanted to know if it is an idiom or some sort. No.
This is additional content for digital media.
Okay. Yeah. You can carry on with your...
Do I? Thank you.
You're welcome.
To walk on eggshells.
I just did that.
What? To break something?
No.
Just be careful.
I was, trading carefully. Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
To tread carefully in what way?
To speak carefully.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which we don't do. I don't do.
It's basically to be inoffensive to somebody. Don't like sort of be abrupt or anything in the way you speak to someone. But sometimes it can be annoying that you have to be like that around certain people. So it's like, don't say anything when we go in here. We'll have to, it's like treading on eggshells because it's, they're upset easily.
Yeah, so it's sensitive people.
Yeah.
Well, we do know some. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I understand.
Okay. Do you have any more?
To rabbit on, which is what it seemed to be doing at the moment.
Which
rabbit
is?
On?
Yeah, it's when you talk too much.
Rabbit on.
There was a song.
Rabbit on.
Yes, there was a song actually in the UK in the charts in the '80s. It was rabbit. It's to rabbit on. It's to talk.
They've
nonsense basically.
Rabbits are very quiet animals.
They don't speak. To be fair.
I mean, only in movies. Come on.
Just like Gab, which is very quiet. Gab, you're not so quiet normally.
I was unfair when I said it's like now, because I mean rabbit on is to talk continuously about something that's of no interest to anybody.
Well, I'm really interested in the idioms.
Well, now you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lost in Translation.
The funny part of ZCast.
Okay, welcome back to the funny. Does it translate? Okay, we kick
the
it
the funny
off.
Part. It's called the funny
and
part.
Action.
It's basically the part where we just laugh at jokes that we try to understand in English, right?
Not that we need jokes laughing, but
yeah.
No, basically, what it is, the Lost in Translation part of this podcast is to do with jokes from translated from one language to another language, and do they translate?
Okay. Get the English humor. So we are ready. All ears.
Yes.
We are all ears.
Okay, so the first joke, again, this is all to do with rabbits, eggs, etc., Easter. So what do you get when you pour boiling water into a rabbit hole?
What?
Easter eggs?
What?
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
Because the bunnies, they get the eggs from the hen. No.
You have to understand, Adina, this is not real. They don't get eggs from chickens.
Okay.
No. Okay, so what do you get when you pour boiling water into a rabbit hole?
What?
Hot cross bunnies. The perfect reaction to that joke was hot cross buns are what we eat in England.
Oh,
your
buns.
Cosinac bread.
Yes.
We have hot cross buns.
Is that how easy you make it in England?
What?
You just pour hot water into a rabbit hole and you get cosinac?
No.
That's a new recipe.
Joke is the hot cross buns is the hot cross bunnies.
Bunnies.
Because they'd also be hot and cross because they'd be angry.
Yeah. So your cosinac.
When you have to explain a joke to this depth, it's really not funny.
I'm trying to hold it.
But how would that translate into Bulgarian? Or would it?
What?
Would it translate?
I mean, you can, but it wouldn't mean the same.
I don't think.
I don't know what rabbit is in Bulgarian, but
it's like,
Nogo topla voda.
And you get kuzunak.
That, it's yes, I mean.
Nobody's going to believe you. Nobody's going to believe you, guy. It won't go in our cooking class at Z-Camp because it will be a disaster.
Okay. Now, you know knock-knock jokes?
Yes.
Knock-knock, who's there?
Yeah.
Do you have knock-knock jokes in Bulgaria or not? Is that no?
This is definitely no.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll go anyway. So knock-knock.
Who's there?
Heidi.
Heidi who?
Heidi the eggs all around the backyard.
But this is painful.
Can you please translate now?
Translate? Okay. Chuk chuk. Heidi. No.
Крия.
Крия кой?
Крия яйцата.
What was the last bit?
In the backyard.
В двора. No, it does not translate. It's so bad.
It doesn't translate.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
In Bulgarian.
Oh, you're looking at me going, oh,
no,
red,
right? Because I love the fact that you changed the name, because Heidi in Bulgarian is...
Kriya.
Yeah, so you couldn't have Heidi, which is a girl's name.
Oh, now it makes more sense.
Not Heidi.
We can yes, Heide.
Yeah.
But it's...
Heidi, it's out of
Heide. Heide, it's out of Gurata.
Okay, so let's try one more then. So why... is the Easter bunny so lucky?
Why?
Because he has four rabbit's feet.
Huh? What?
You never heard of a lucky rabbit's foot? Look at the penny dropping everywhere.
What?
Everybody, lights turning on all around the room. Yes.
You know where this comes from in Bulgaria? Are you too young? You don't know?
I'm very young.
Well, I'm not that young, so I know that when we had those phones where you had to put a penny on top to start dialing, and when the other one picks up, the penny drops in the phone and you get connected. Well, we didn't drop every time if it was sort of broken.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, when it gets down, you get connected. So finally, there is a connection.
That's where you get the penny drops. The penny's dropped.
Okay.
Did you have phones like this in England as well?
Yeah, but it was like there was 2 pence and 5 pence. Then it changed from 5 to 10, and then.
So one thing in common, this joke is from the old times. But me and Guy, we can share it.
In America, they had the ones where you can line the coins up and they go in as you talk. In England, you just have to keep putting them in the slot.
Well, so here you had only up. One chance. You put one coin and you could talk forever, but only local distance. So
the red phone booths.
Yes.
Now use the same system?
Now it's pretty much defunct. A lot of people have bought those red phone booths to have at their houses.
To call.
Yeah. Harry Potter.
Well, this is just because they're an iconic part of the English countryside and stuff. You know, they were everywhere.
Yeah, but now then you now take a picture not. With, yeah, very few. There was one in Sofia, by the way.
They've changed a lot of them. There's one in my hometown now that's a mini library. So people go and put books inside because they've put shelves inside instead. The phone's gone.
Oh.
They put shelves inside and then people take books and put them in, and then other people can come and take books and put their books in, and it's like a book exchange but in a tiny little phone. So they stay dry as well because it's got...
Not many books though.
Yeah, they're really tall. Inside they're about 9 or 10 foot tall.
Which
so you've
meters
got lots
is...
of shelves. Two plus. Two and a half maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, they're quite tall.
Okay.
And they're... A meter square, so you've got 3 square meters of shelving space.
Well, we have a lot of shelves, a lot of space, a lot of books and bunnies.
But anyway, so now, we've gone from lucky feet to coins dropping to square meterage. So, right, okay, so how does every Easter end?
How?
How does every Easter end? Think about it. How does every Easter end? Every single one.
A good night.
Single Easter.
When I go to bed.
One more time.
Good night.
No.
When I go to sleep.
No. Gabby, what do you think? How does every single Easter end?
When the spirit, the holiday spirit is dead.
Oh, you're overthinking this. It ends with an R. E-A-S-T-E-R. Every single Easter ends with an R.
Okay, and that's how
and that's how we're going to end the Does It Translate section of this podcast.
And the whole podcast.
And the entire podcast. Yeah. So,
see you next time.
Yeah, thank you, Peshe, for introducing everything that we've done pretty much so far. Thank you to our guest, Irina, and of course, Gabby. And
thank
final
you
words?
Thank you, everyone. If you want to watch us, you can check the YouTube channel or on www.zinira.bg/podcast. If you want to listen to us, go on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and any other media that you can find us on. Thank you. See you in 2 weeks.
Zcast.